Genesis 6, 7, 8, and 9. What a long sermon that's going to be, to cover four chapters. Now, we started last week in thinking about the God of the flood. Today we're going to think about God, the ark, and Noah. So let's read, if you have your Bible there, let's read together Genesis 6, beginning at verse 13 through the end of the chapter. Now, last week we covered God and the flood and got into some of the questions and theories about it, but really it's to fulfill the purpose of God. God's purpose was fulfilled and God's power was revealed for him to do this. And the reason that he did it was because the corruption of man had reached such a low point that God destroyed mankind from off the face of the earth except for one man, Noah and his family. So we have God and the flood, and we have the ark, which is an amazing thing, and we'll look at that in a few minutes. But we learn that Noah found grace. It says that Noah was a righteous man, that he knew of God. He at least worshiped God. Noah was a family man. And you just think of Noah responding to God's word, but also his sons. And they worked together approximately 120 years building the ark. And the ark floated. Now you have to know something ahead of time to build something that never has attempted to float on the water and make it come out. Now, we can study and think about all the interesting things of the rain and the water and the ark, but what good does that do us? What we want to get at is the spiritual value of this for us. Would you turn to Hebrews chapter 11, and verse 7. The way to understand Old Testament truth is to check it out by New Testament commentary. Now, you know, chapter 11 of Hebrews is that great chapter called God's Hall of Faith. We're well acquainted with a Hall of Fame. In fact, just recently, the trainer of the horse that won the Kentucky Derby yesterday was inducted into the Trainers Hall of Fame. And Dwayne Lucas had a horse yesterday that won the Kentucky Derby that was 30-1 in odds. How many of you bet once? Oh, none of you are. Okay. So, here is God's Hall of Faith. Hebrews 7:11 about Noah. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. I thought that what we ought to do this morning is consider Noah and faith. Faith, so important in our life. As we live our daily life as a Christian, almost every event and circumstance is couched in this. Am I going to trust God in this? Or am I going to react in panic and do something foolish? Am I going to take matters into my own hand, or will I respond in faith? What an important matter faith is. Now, we who are in sovereign grace truth know and understand that faith comes from God. Faith is the gift of God. God gives us faith. The Holy Spirit creates faith in us, so we take no credit for that. The Holy Spirit empowers faith in us as we live. We take no credit. And yet, as we live, there is a response to truth where we enter into this. Will we trust God or not? So let's consider Hebrews 11:7 about Noah and faith. By faith, Noah. So we consider immediately the basis of faith. It is Noah being divinely warned of things. That is, God instructed Noah. God came to Noah to tell him. So the basis of faith is the Word of God. The basis of faith is biblical truth, not our feelings. Feelings are very deceiving, and if they rule our life, we will be in big trouble. The basis of our faith is not our experience or our performance. To think that last week I was such a good Christian, or to think that last week I was such a bad Christian. No, the basis of faith is the Word of God. It is not our logic. It is not our reasoning power. It's the Word of God. And so we read continually, "Thus saith the Lord." And so that's where our faith is. There's an illustration in the New Testament about Peter and the Lord walking on the water. And Peter says, "Bid me to come to you on the water." And he was in the boat, and the Lord said, "Come." And you know that Peter got out of that boat and walked on the water? But I say to you that he walked on the Word of God. When the Lord said, "Come," that was the basis of Peter's walking. Of course, then Peter turned his eyes on other things and began to sink. But he walked on the Word. At the resurrection of Christ, the angel said to the women, "He is not here. He is risen as he said." He always keeps his word, and that's the basis of our faith. And what about our faith this morning? How long did it last for Noah? 120 years. He's doing something unheard of. Building a boat in the middle of the Mojave Desert. Never seen rain. But his faith sustained him for all that time. Now, the world needs to see people of faith. We don't need to be sensational. We don't need to be spectacular. We need to be steady. We need to be steadfast. We need to be consistent. We need to be people who can be trusted. That's the testimony. The world needs this. Christians need this. We really encourage each other when we see faith. How great faith can be seen, you know. And there is an evidence of faith. So it is not in ourselves. It's not in society. It's certainly not in government. And it's certainly not in the school system. As we think of Noah and faith and our life and faith, it is the Word of God. We need to know that. Now, we learn that Noah responded by faith. The extent of faith. What is the extent of faith? He being divinely warned of things not yet seen. Things not yet seen. Faith can see the invisible. There was no rain. Never had rain. The earth was watered by a dew of some sort. Faith sees God's supply based upon God's promise. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Faith sees that. Faith gives us confidence about life. And there's the phrase used, the eye of faith, by which we see. We can see the future. We have hope because of faith. Noah saw the rain. He saw the flood by faith. And you know that our future is as big as our faith. So Noah's faith rested in the Word of God and extended to things not seen. Now, we learn, thirdly, the nature of faith here. It says, Noah, divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear. That's the nature of it. He was moved. That is, he was affected by it. It entered his life to do something about it. It's a godly, wholesome reverence. God warned him of judgment. God, think of this, God destroyed every human being except Noah and his family. God did that. God warned Noah of this judgment. And we need to understand the Bible is full of judgment. And the world goes on day by day, not fearing judgment, trying to evade, trying to escape the thoughts of it. It's proper for us to fear judgment, although we are free from it. We ought to be able to say, I don't want to go to hell. I really don't. One man said, I don't want to go to hell because there ain't no exits. Well, that's a good thing. The judgment of God is real. And we need to put out the message to people not to walk up to strangers and say, God loves you. Because he doesn't. His wrath is upon them. If you don't have the Son, if you have the Son, you have everlasting life. If you don't have the Son of God, the wrath of God abides on you. That's witnessing the gospel. It isn't with this false notion, everything is so wonderful and God loves you and so do I, when he doesn't. There's a dreadful condition of the lost facing an eternity of hell. Now we need to have that move our lives today. Does that move us? Affect our life so that this message grips our heart and that we give this message faithfully. The basis of faith is the Word of God. The extent of faith is of things not seen. The nature of faith is that our life is moved and affected and influenced and gripped. Now there is an evidence of faith. By faith, Noah, being not warned of that things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark. That's the evidence. Noah, just as we read, did all the things that God commanded him. Now, one of the most interesting things in all the world to think about is this ark that God had Noah build and gave him specific, detailed instructions. And the ark is 450 feet long. That's about a football field and a half. That's big. The ark is 75 feet wide. And the ark is 45 feet high. It's about the size of a battleship. And Noah and his sons build this ark, the first fallout shelter man has ever had. And by the way, Sean, God was the superintendent of the building on that project, and Noah and his sons were carpenters. But you think now, there is the name of a man in Genesis 5 in the genealogy, Tubal Cain, who had worked with bronze and iron. So probably Noah had some access to some tools of metal, but we don't know what he had. And I'd think of them building a scaffold or whatever way they could do it with ropes to pull and cutting down the timbers with no table saw. If you want to have a good time as you study the scripture, pray for a sanctified imagination and get into it and get with them and try to think through the mind of Noah and all that's going on there. And you could think of these boys. What an absurd thing to do. What are you asking us to do? And they'd come home at night and they'd say, "Dad, all the neighbor guys think we're loony toony out here doing this." And for 120 years, there's the sound of the hammer of Noah building an ark at God's instruction. And so he did this as the evidence of faith. The divine energy, empowered by God, he did it. Now we learn about the witness of faith that Noah condemned he prepared an ark for the saving of his household by which he condemned the world. Noah's faith in building this ark is a condemnation of the world. Because he was obeying God. Noah preached by building an ark. And he was condemned by others. Probably ridiculed. With embarrassment and so on. And he didn't care about his social status or what people were saying. He was doing what God told him, and he gave witness by doing it. Now then, what is the result of all of this? The result is that his household was saved, by which he condemned the world. He prepared an ark to the saving of his household. Now, we know that that's at least physically, and we have no way of knowing exactly whether this was a spiritual salvation for them, but they were saved from destruction and being destroyed. And I think we can reasonably think that at least God saved Shem, and we'll get into the fact that the whole world was repopulated through the three sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And Shem becomes the father of that godly line through whom we have Abraham and David. But faith is contagious. Faith spreads. Faith is caught. And I think it's fairly safe to say that when a father is saved and becomes a spiritual leader and teaches and trains and prays for his family, although we believe in election, yet we find that that household follows God. Faith is contagious. And yet we know that Timothy is affected by the faith of his grandmother and his mother, and Timothy is in that generation. Now, Christianity goes generation to generation to generation. And that's what discipleship is. Paul said to Timothy, "What you have learned, commit to godly people who teach others also." That's how it goes. And there is a terrible, terrible indictment on the Israelites in the last book. In the book of the last verse in the book of Judges, it says this: "So there arose another generation which knew not the Lord." That's catastrophe. It's when Christians are faithful by faith, bearing witness of that faith, that we pass it on to our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren. Now you think of our nation and the terrible calamity and tragedies that are about us. Why is that happening? Because we are failing, in a sense, to pass on at least the moral values that were once a part of the country. Certainly not perfectly. And I don't think, some people say, "Bill, is the United States a Christian nation?" Certainly not. Was it ever a Christian nation? No. There's no such thing as a Christian nation, because there are always unbelievers on the earth as a part of it. But at least there was Christian influence to the extent that great values were a part of life, which are no longer with us. And we may not be a large group, but we have a faithful testimony to maintain. in our families, to pass on our faith to our young people, to our children, to our grandchildren. And may God help us to do that. And you think about God's working, and usually He gets into a family through one person, and then another, and another. And salvation is by election, and yet God works through human beings. Everybody went into that ark. The sons and their daughters and Mrs. Noah. And they're all in there. And God shut them in glorious, eternal security. God saved that family. And this morning, may Noah's faith that he exercised in response to God's call and empowerment strike our hearts with truth and godly fear. And may the result be salvation of our own and those around us. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your glorious work throughout all of history, and how You brought perfect judgment, and how You brought perfect grace. And we personally thank You this morning that we have been included among Your elect people, and that You have moved in on our life and created faith and brought about our salvation. And now here on this Sunday morning, in the month of May, in the year 1999, we are before You. And we bow in humble worship and ask that You will empower us with great faith to live during these difficult days and to present a testimony of steady faithfulness and to bear witness of our faith to the extent that others also will be brought into the ark of salvation. We thank You for Your word. Thank You for the presence of the Holy Spirit, and ask that You will work now deeply in our hearts in response to You. May it all be to the glory and honor of our Lord Jesus Christ, whom we love and whom we serve. Amen.